Dennis. Once again, it's time for definitions. To look back at the basic thread, the basic warp and the woof of which our lives are composed. To examine that vast mosaic of existence. To try to get down to the basic reason of why the New York Yankees lost. Why the Mets are floundering. And why you two, in your poor simple way, are awash in the great mire and muck of what should be an overwhelmingly ecstatic existence. Why is this? Who is plotting? Who fouled up, to use a polite word, huh? That's right. Let's take a look at some of the basic definitions. Life has been described in the past as a farrago, a shoddy farrago. On the other hand, it's been described as a wonderful, delightfully colorful mosaic of whoopee. There you have the pro and the con, the plus and the minus, the yin and yang, the positive and negative, the anode and the cathode of life itself. Farrago. We will look at this very word and examine it. Farrago. Farrago. We give you, in this case, the definition from the Oxford Unabridged. Farrago. F-E-R-R-A-G-O. Farrago. A confused mixture. A jumble. A confused mixture. A jumble. A medley. A hodgepodge. Latin. Mixed fodder for cattle. Oh, what a superb description of the lives that all of us live. Confused mixture, a jumble, a medley. Yes, a hodgepodge. Mixed fodder for cattle chewing their cuds. The cattle of society. That's what it is. It's society that's holding us down. Oh, chewing, cud-spitting cattle. Veritable hinds of the field. Yes, yes, let us look at the warp and the woof of existence. We'll find many threads in many departments, many examples everywhere you look. Oh, come join me. Keep your knees loose. Move like a jungle cat through that verdant undergrowth of life, swimmy hot, growing, seminal. Yes, yes, the basic substance of existence, that heady, brief wine of life. Oh, come, spin and dance. Bring on the dancing girls. I quote from an album cover. An album cover. You know, just found these little things. Yes, just any place. And it all sounds the same. It's one thing about the seminal existence. It's anywhere. Anyway, just bring it in. That's right. There we go. I quote from an album cover. It shows, once again, the truth. Will out. As a matter of fact, it will out. You cannot circle under. It's like Hank Sauer. Do you remember Hank Sauer, the great outfielder who played with the Cincinnati Reds and the Chicago Cubs, was circling under a fly ball one night out in Wrigley Field? Or was it in Comiskey Park? Or was it in Crosley Field? Or was it in Forbes Field? Or was it in Yankee Field? It made no difference. He's circling under a fly ball, and suddenly he missed it. It bounced past him all the way to the wall. It went for a triple. He came back to the dugout and said to his manager, "I lost it in the moon." Yes, I lost it in the moon, and there was nothing else said. I quote from an album cover, from an oud player's album cover, George Magakrian. He plays the oud. I quote, "Massacres, tortures, and enslavements are blended with much joy in the music of these simple peoples who for many centuries knew only of peace and happiness." Massacres, tortures, and enslavements are blended with much joy in the music of these simple Grecian people. Da 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 Massacres, tortures, and enslavements are blended with much joy in the music of these simple massacring, torturing, and enslaving peoples. Yes. All together now, let's have a good massacre tonight. And how about a wonderful, joyful enslavement? Or perhaps even a little friendly midsummer torture. Hi, George, I lost it right in the moon there. I had it. It's moon, you know how the moon gets. It's in the eye there. All right, cut it all of it, all of it. Cut out a shoddy farrago. Hodgepodge. Ooh, that's that horn there they blow. Or is it a thing they hit or a string they plunk or... It doesn't make any difference. All I know is that they have massacres and tortures and friendly enslavements, all blended with simple joy. You see, the truth, it sneaks up on you. You know, the truth comes out of all kinds of sinister, wonderful, great places. And I think if we get it organized here, all set now. I think a little truth here. Have you looked out? Look out of the window right now, this minute. You feel it? Oh, boy. You know, even a simple, peaceful person like me, a simple, peaceful person, right? Am I a simple, peaceful person? Say that over to yourself several times. To yourself. Run that over. Run that through the old tape recorder of the mind a couple times. Yourself. I mean for you. I am a simple, peaceful person. Repeat that. I am a simple, peaceful person. Sounds good, doesn't it? You want to try it once more? I am a simple, peaceful person. Fits very well, doesn't it? It would be kind of nice to have that hem-stitched into your BVDs in a simple cross-stitch of red, white, and blue thread, silk thread, color-fast and samferized. Oh, well, you can have it in the whatever flag you believe in. It doesn't make any difference. I mean... I'm telling you, you really don't understand America if you think Americans are chauvinistic. The only way to make it in America is put it down. You've been here long enough to know that. Why do you think I'm here? If I put it up, I'd be dead. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yes, over the desert, wild and free, rides the Sheikh of Araby, his Arab steed at his command. Follow his love's caravan under the shadow of the palms. He sings to call her to his arms. While stars are fading in the dawn over the desert, they'll be gone. His captured bride, oh, close by his side, swift as the wind they'll ride. Proudly he scorns her smile or fear. Soon he will conquer love. Just take a look out and breathe deeply, you simple, peaceful person. Yes, I'm the Sheikh of Araby. Oh, your love belongs to me. Isn't that lovely? At night when you're asleep, sleep, sleep, into your tent he went. I'll creep, 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 oh, whoopee. The stars above will light, yes, will light our way to love. You'll rule this land with me, baby. Oh, I'm the Sheikh of Araby. Rick-a-thick-a-thick-a-thick-a-thick. All together now, come on. Rick-a-thick-a-thick. I'm the Sheikh of Araby. Your love belongs to me. Come on, baby, swing it. At night when you're asleep, rick-a-thick-a-thick-a-thick. Into your tent-a-tent. Then I'll creep, 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 creep. The stars that shine above, oh, we'll light our way to love. Blow that thing, man. You'll rule this land with me. Oh, this is absolutely infectious. Anybody wanting one more chorus, please raise your hand. I will not perform without sufficient encouragement. I'm getting tired of being put down, snorted at. Where did I read somewhere that the newest Dick Tracy series is going to be about phlegm face. It's terrible. Oh, you missed that. Well, that's too bad. You miss a lot of good things in life. You missed it, didn't you? Fooling around scratching. Well, I suspect that almost all of us are going to be fooling around scratching when it happens. I know there were at least 48,000 guys who were fooling around scratching down on the South 40 when they were signing the Magna Carta. Didn't have time to go down, you know. Speaking of fooling around and scratching while Rome burns, this is WOR AM and FM. Fiddling away there, right. George. One more, I think one more, just one more course. Come on, let's give him one more course there. Ha, let's go. Ha ha ha! Ha, listen to that. Who can resist the sensuous rhythms of the fantastic East? Oh, I'm the Sheik of Arabi. Who can resist it? Your love belongs to me. Ah, at night when you're asleep. That's enough. It's a little early in the season, and the kids are still up. We don't want people creeping to tents. And, you know, that's a very suggestive song when you think about it. And you just listen to these lyrics very carefully now. You're sitting out there laughing like a big yap face. All right, you're missing. That's a truth. Big old fat ham bone laughing. You better start learning to listen. Now, you listen carefully to these lyrics and see what I'm talking about here. Go on, hit it then, man. Oh, I'm the Sheik of Arabi. Your love belongs to me. Hear what that guy said? At night when you're asleep. Into your tent I'll creep, baby. For the stars that shine above will light our way to love. You'll rule this land with me. I'm the Sheik of Arabi. Now, you see what that guy's proposing there? I heard not one single word of marriage. I didn't hear one single word of even asking. He didn't ask. He told, man. He laid it right there on the line. Right on the line, no fooling around. And you didn't hear any feminine squeaks, did you? Of demurring, no feminine squeaks of denial, not a bit of it. She was right there sitting on the front end of that horse. All right? Boy, they had people then, didn't they? Can't you see yourself, I mean, really, try it. I mean, can't you see yourself galloping like mad down Sullivan Street? And you come thundering up in this gigantic Arabian steed, and the hair is flying, you know, and you got this big burnous, isn't that thing they wear, that big long towel? You got this burnous on there, you know, and the big mop on the top of your head, and you come galloping up, you know, thundering up, and you pull up. Let's say, for example, you're doing it on McDougal Street. Now, that's the place where this kind of thing would work. You come thundering against the traffic, you know. I don't know whether or not traffic signs affect guys on Arabians. Yes, you're traveling north on a south-going street, you know, through all the motorcycles and all the guys there with their little fans and stuff, you know. You come galloping along there against the traffic, and suddenly you're across the street from the Rienzi, and you come booming up, and you rein this rah! The horse screams and yells, you know. You rein it up against, and it kicks the, you know, up in the air and falls down and knocks over three motor scooters, and there you're sitting in your beautiful hand carved saddle, and you shriek up to this chick on the second floor window. She's looking out over the fire escape, you know, this village type chick. She's looking out, and he says, "Oh, the desert, wild and free, baby, here I've come. Yes, I'm the Sheik from Arabi. Come on, baby, let's go. Oh, listen, let's go, baby. I'm the Sheik. I'm the Sheik, baby, of Arabi. I'm the Sheik of Arabi. Your love belongs to me. At night, when you're asleep, and the whole crowd, you know, they're yelling and howling out of the Rienzi. Into your tent, I'll creep. Let's go, baby. For the stars that shine above
chick a bear. Rubbing. You grab this chick, you know, you pull her off the fire escape, down under the top end of this Arabian, and you go thundering through the motor scooters. All the guys with their banjos, all the guys with their guitars, all the guys with their switchblades, the motorcycles are falling up and down. Your burnous is trailing. You're thundering in the direction of Washington Square. There he goes. The sheet bear. Thundering his way back uptown. He's on his way. All right, that's enough. Well, it's what summer does. Very exciting, isn't it? Boy, that would really make the scene. I'll bet the boys would be on hand and talk about, you know, the whole thing. I wonder what Bill Manville would say about that kind of a scene. Oh, that'd scare the whole crowd down there. Really, that would really offend Norman Mailer. I mean, a guy that comes and just grabs a chick off the fire escape and says, "Let's go, baby, I'm the Sheikh of Araby." Yes, you rule this land with me. Away he goes. Well, I don't know how Baldwin would handle that one. Boy, I think one of the funniest lines of all is Baldwin looking out of the paper saying, "I don't want to marry your sister." I mean, if you know Baldwin, let's get on with the music there. Come on, once again, now I'm the Sheikh. Oh, Rick. I'm the Sheikh of Araby. That's very exciting. That's a very good tune. Now, let's see. We got to get back to some of these other good tunes here. Well, a lot of things here to cover, you know. The Nuttiness is marching full blast. And let's see. We've covered One Kind, Two Kinds, Sheikh of Araby. Anybody there want to hear a couple of quick rondos of Ragtime Cowboy Joe? I could sing "I Am Working on the Railroad All the Live Long Day." I can sing three steel mill songs that I learned when I was working in the coal strip for you, but none of them have any word. There isn't a single, you know, I learned three songs, and there isn't one single word in any of those three songs that are printable. Three complete folk songs from the coal strip, all of them consisting of obscenities that are being heaped on the unit shift foreman. I don't know whether that would go at the bitter end, because you see, these songs really are about the bitter end. For those of you who are interested in the steel mill world and what is happening to the world. Oh, hey, what do you have? Do you have my Narcissus up there? You got it up there? Okay. For those of you who are interested in the direction that our world is going in, we have with us again tonight, as a special public feature of WOR, Chucky. Chucky, your well-known fashion commentator and designer of ladies' clothes. Chucky has come all the way in from Fire Island to make his special transcribed report tonight. Hello, friends, and good evening, good evening, good evening. And there are so many exciting things going on in the world of design and the world of fashion tonight that I just hardly know where to start. It's so very exciting. And so tonight, once again, this is Chucky, your fashion designer, on the scene and ready to report the hard-hitting new things that are in the air. Hello there, everyone. Hello. I quote tonight from the Sunday edition of the New York Times, July 23rd, 1963. Or is it June? But it doesn't make any difference. It's all summer and a yard wide, and it's so sunny and wonderful out the island these days. Well, I was talking to Dickie the other day, and Dickie just pointed this one out to me, girls, and said, "You must see this ad. It's an advertisement in last Sunday's June 23rd issue, 1963, of the wonderful, wonderful, delightful, yummy New York Times. And it's an advertisement for Franklin Simon, one of my favorite fashion shops. And Franklin Simon has a lovely illustration of a lot of beautiful girls leaning up against a typical men's bar. These girls are wearing the most delightful pinstripe men's suits, cleverly cut to the symbolic skirts. They are also wearing snap-brim fedoras and carrying tightly furled British ambassadorial-type umbrellas. And all these girls are leaning upon the bar there, and you can see a man, girls, a real ordinary man, standing in the back, and he's getting ready to give them a bottle of what looks like good scotch. And the copy reads so delightfully, pinstripes streaked in so fast, men never knew what happened. Isn't that delightful, girls? Classic gray menswear pinstripes to be worn with complete conviction. Unquestioned fashion authority. Men love this look, worn it themselves for years. Yes, if you've been envying the men in your lives for wearing pinstripe suits and snap-brim fedoras and other things that men have worn for years, selfish creatures that they are, you too can now dress just like a little old man and go downtown and act like a little old man and just stick your little old jaw out and bang that little old fist on the bar and say, I'll have J&B with water. Exciting things in the world. This has been Chucky, your fashion designer, telling you about the exciting things in the world of fashion and design. I'm going right back out to the island now, but I'll be back shortly on this program with a WOR special. Good night. Good night. Good nighty night. Good nighty nighty night. It's another one of these special WOR public service features. Would you tell Jack to put that on the public service department there? It's public service, Jack, more than you know. And, you know, this the idea of the girls wearing the pinstripe suits. You know, for those of you who are interested, I suspect that the next move, there was an Elizabethan stage prop, which I suspect eventually we're going to see the girls wearing. It's the next move. That's for those of you who know about Elizabethan stage props and Shakespearean actors occasionally. But it's an Elizabethan stage prop. And ask your local Elizabethan stage prop expert, and he'll tell you what I'm talking about. I suspect, fellows, that that'd be a nice thing to sell. I think Bonwood Tellers would love it. Well, while we're on the subject of the nuttiness that is extant, I think we can't ignore the British. The British are right there. Do you have my British ready up there? No, it's down the other disc, Eddie. I think he set it up. Yeah. All right. All set. While we're on the subject of that, I noticed walking past the 42nd Street Theater a couple of hours ago, there was a big sign that says "Cool by Refrigeration." Somehow that's awfully. That's laying it on the line. I mean, you know what? Refrigeration is what they do with meat. I mean, it's somehow I prefer electronically cooled, fellas, but cooled by refrigeration. So they're getting the truth is beginning to come out, you know. All right, all set. Let's go.
Once again, the BBC and his crew broadcast the program overseas service. Salutes Englishmen everywhere. And tonight's program entitled, "By God, the Law is Getting Good." Hail, wipe them from the hedgerows. Fear, fight them on the beaches. That's what they are. By God, their willow, it is beer and a gun. Tonight, the BBC salutes the Englishwoman. The Englishwoman marching in the footsteps of the Englishman, square, eyes upon the receding lines of the empire, indeed evoking the very shadow of Mrs. Minibar herself. Dedicated to ideals, dedicated to the abstraction of England itself. Mrs. Minibar, we salute you. We report tonight a special story from America concerning two doughty English women. We are quoting tonight the New York World Telegram and Sun, an obscure weekly. Two of the loyalist fans any star ever had turn up several nights a week at the Schubert Theater in New York to pay their cheerful respects to Anthony Newley. They are two English girls who followed their idol across the Atlantic when Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, was chased off to Broadway last fall. One of them, Ann Davies, has brought a front row seat for the show 62 times running. The other, Jean Marshall, doesn't have quite that regard, but she claims attending many more performances here in England, including the original tryout in Manchester. Mighty God, there'll always be in England with English women, with that structure and that doughty stand, standing behind the English man.
They are now familiar figures backstage, and everyone, the cast, the stagehands, and the musicians know them. Their loyalty is more than just a passive paying of respects. On the night of the Tony Awards dinner, they took a room at the Medicana Hotel to be nearby in case the worst happened and Newley didn't win. As all good Britishers know, the results, of course, went against Mr. Newley. When Zero Mostel, an unknown comic, got the prize, they were prepared like good English women. They rushed forward and presented Anthony Newley with a silver cup of their own. When his bride, movie star Joan Collins, had a birthday the other night, they were prepared, too. They had a big cake for her, decorated with the titles of all her movies. Miss Collins, who takes a slightly austere view of the girls, was overwhelmed. To the photographer who was present to record the event, Miss Marshall, a tall, merry girl, said, "Don't take my picture with Joan Collins. She's beautiful. Nobody would notice me. At least with Anne, I stand a fighting chance." Spoken as a true, modest English woman. "I suppose you think we're a bit balmy," Miss Davies said. "Well, I guess we are a little, but we'll do anything for Mr. Newley, an Englishman." Miss Davies, a trained nurse, works as a governess in Connecticut. Miss Marshall has a similar job in Manhattan, a suburb of New York. I answered an ad in a London paper from a New York couple who wanted an English governess, Miss Marshall said, upon immediately making preparations to follow the show to America after it closed here in London. "It's a very fashionable thing to have a girl with a British accent around the house here in America. I wanted to be here for the opening night, but I got here 3 days late. I landed at Idlewild at 5:30 p.m., and I was at the theater at 8:30, but it was sold out. I could not get a seat. When I went backstage after the show, Newley said, 'My God, you're really here.' I said, 'Yes, I came 3,000 miles and couldn't get a seat, but I got one the next night.'" Yes, we on the BBC salute English women everywhere. Would that they would watch the fiber and the austerity of these two wonderful girls. Are these two girls planning to settle down in America? Miss Davies was already in New York when the show opened and attended the second night. At that time, the two girls had never met. As the months went by, they noticed each other in the audience frequently. Finally, one said to the other, "He's gorgeous, isn't he?" The other said, "Yes, isn't he? Let's have tea." They have been good friends ever since. Are they planning to settle in America? "No," Miss Davies said. "We'll go back to England when Newley does. Should he go to Hollywood, they'll go too. We'd hitchhike, but we understand it's illegal in America. What do the girls expect to get out of this?" "Oh, I'm not in love with him or anything like that," Miss Davies said. "I just think of him as a good friend." Miss Marshall rolled her eyes and said simply, "I think he's gorgeous." Miss Marshall has a husband back in England, but they're not going to break up over Newley. Yes, once again, we salute good English women and their good, clean hobbies. The BBC in its third program is brought to you tonight. It's weekly salute to English men and English women everywhere. The third program is a special overseas service of the British Broadcasting Corporation. That's enough, fellas. So you think nuttiness is only here, huh? The showbiz world is taking over in absolutely every department, no matter where you turn. It's, oh yes. It's obvious that Mr. Newley is much more important than the husband. Let that be a lesson to... You know, it's funny how... I don't think, of course, it's a, you can approach it one way or you can approach it the other. There's several ways to approach it. The showbiz is getting more and more interesting. I received a clipping from the Outlanders there somewhere. It's for those of you who are interested in new developments in showbiz, will you please give me the next thing there? One, two, three, all together. Showbiz music. Oh, the Sheikh of Araby. Oh, there. How did that get back on? What are you? He didn't give you all the instructions. There's more on that sheet. You didn't get it. No? Oh, yeah. Yes, there is. But that doesn't matter. No, don't put that away, Ed. No, you guys are much quicker putting them in the envelopes and getting them out. I've noticed that. It's a very interesting difference here. Yes! That's it. Bring it up there. That's very good. A stroke of genius once again. La-ta-ta-ta. From Lebanon, Pennsylvania, comes this showbiz note. Pushkin's Cocktail Lounge on Cumberland Street is now featuring, appearing nightly, Jewel Brenner and her Swing Kings, the only bald singer in the world. Don't miss this outstanding attraction. Jewel, by the way, is a girl. I'm very excited. It's very exciting. This is going into my decline and fall. Catalog there. Will you please don't put that in the trivia catalog. It's much more important than trivia there. Much more important. Speaking of trivia, for those of you who want to know how the world is going in connection with the... Did anyone... I will award the brass figurine with bronze oak leaf palm to anyone who can tell me the name of the Elizabethan stage prop that will eventually become a fashionable item of wearing apparel for the really chic... I heard somebody on the Long John show say it that way the other night. The really chic New York girls who are totally immersed in the world of Vogue. I will award the brass figurine with bronze oak leaf palm with aluminum cluster for outstanding knowledge of Elizabethan stage pieces. Okay? Oh, it's happening. Believe me, it's happening. Because here, for example, is a little item here that comes from the News Bureau of General Electric, Schenectady 5, New York, for immediate release. Duquesne, Pennsylvania, May 21st. The most sophisticated blast furnace control system ever constructed has been placed in operation at the U.S. Steel's Corporation Duquesne Works. Christened Dorothy, the furnace is in the United States element of the first to be controlled by punched paper tape, and the first to be designed for later installation of a process computer for completely automated operation. Once again, the name of this new blast furnace, Dorothy. Now, I don't know whether the guys at General Electric are making a snide comment on women by naming a blast furnace Dorothy, or whether or not they think that I have never quite thought of a blast furnace as feminine. Having spent some time in the immediate vicinity of blast furnaces in my past, do any of you know what a blast furnace is? Well, a blast furnace is even worse than what its name implies. Let me tell you, if you can imagine literally a controlled atomic explosion, that's a blast furnace. Oh, boy. And I suppose in light of many of the today's chicks that I know, Dorothy is not a bad name, now come to think of it, for a blast furnace, actually. They used to name blast furnace Joe. They did. I'm telling you. They had a blast furnace at Inland Steel where I worked. It was named Mike. They used to call it Mike. And the reason they call it Mike was it was named after a foreman there. Yeah, Mike Forshack. And Mike Forshack had worked down on the... he worked in the blast furnace, what they call the blast furnace feed and control department. And Mike, regularly, every 45 minutes, flipped his lid. Every 45 minutes, this nut blew his stack. Well, that's what the blast furnace did. If you know anything about blast furnace, they blow their stack about every 45 minutes. They do when a load is ready, it goes like that, you know, and the stuff flies and the people yell and bells ring and guys run up and down stairs. And it's always an imminent emergency, Ed, when the blast furnace is letting go. Well, they used to call it Mike. Well, I suppose some foreman there at the Duquesne Works has a wife named Dorothy. And it's probably very aptly named. speaking of blast furnace, a blast furnace is a very exciting thing to be around. And I didn't intend seriously to go into any steel mill work tonight or talk about it at all. But this is the kind of night when a steel mill, now you look out of the house, just look out there. It's not on television. This night is not on television. This is a live night. Look out there. It's coming to you absolutely live in pure Stygian blackness. True nighttime colors there. Look out at it there. It's even better than the long nighttime shots that you see on television. Right, Ed? That's night out there. And you look up there, and there is a moon hanging there, a quarter moon. A perfect quarter moon is hanging out over New Jersey. Well, on nights like this, in the steel mill neighborhoods there, did anybody call in with the... they did. They got it. All right, fine. Did the guy agree with you? It was a guy, undoubtedly. Sure. There was one. I can imagine all. I have no idea what this young man is talking about. As a matter of fact, Mr. Shepherd, your reference to Elizabethan stage props reminded me of a mace that my wonderful husband, Charles, gave me one time for a birthday gift when we were married in our 35th year. Charles handed me this beautiful Elizabethan mace and said, "Elizabeth, this is really you." And by George, Charles was right. It's beautiful. I have it hanging in my bedroom. And Charles is asleep now, and we don't understand many of the things you say, but that wonderful reference to Elizabethan stage props was priceless, Mr. Shepherd. Please give us more classics on later programs. Signed.
Cut it there. You guys. I'll meet you all at Schraff's immediately after the show.
Yes, did he agree that that's going to come?
Yeah, wait and see. I saw a chick there. There's some things you want to talk about the design of new ladies' slacks. They got a lot of stuff, guys, that the slacks you've been wearing for years have been trying to conceal, you know, the zippers and all that. Well, they got them. Oh, boy. And it's a big new thing there. I wonder whether or not eventually they're going to bring out men's sweaters with the strategically placed bits of foam rubber, you know, for the conversely. Seriously, I mean, up and down Lexington, those areas, I can't see why. I mean, the way it's going, it's tit for tat. Then. While we're on the subject of getting back to... I don't know what... on a night like this, if you look out of the window now, breathe a deep breath there. That's nighttime, and it's summertime. And on a night like this, it was very exciting to work in the steel mill. Believe it or not, very few things I've ever worked in, including the theater, radio, anything I've had anything to do with, the publishing world, television. I have never felt more actual, you might say, a basic life than I have felt, than I did feel, and it still exists in the immediate vicinity of a gigantic basic industry like steel. There's something, it's like a natural, it's like a natural force. You know, it's like standing in the teeth of a hurricane, Ed, you know? You know it's alive, boy, or something, and it's real. You forget all about the sweat and the arguments and the navel picking and the lint collecting and all that. But on a night like this, when you're about, I'd say 5 or 10 miles away from a steel mill, when it's going at about 3/4 of its capacity or maybe around in that area, the whole sky is lit up. This is the truth. I lived all of my summers as a kid looking vaguely up to the north, just a little bit. It was a little bit to the north of us, about 4 miles to the north, and a little bit to the west there, and a little bit to the east. The whole sky over the lake was covered with a strange purple, red, yellow, orange glow from the steel mills. And if you ever ride to Chicago at nighttime, one of the most exciting, truly thrilling sights in America is don't take the plane. Unfortunately, so many people today take the plane and they miss what America really looks like. You cannot see America, nor feel it, or even taste it, or understand it at all from 38,000 feet. I'm sorry, you just can't. But when you take the train going from the east to the west into Chicago, you skirt the lake. You come down around the lake, and you go through Gary, and you go through Hammond, you go through East Chicago, you go through Whiting, and finally you hit South Chicago, and then the lake goes up north, and you see, and the train goes north and finally winds up in the station in 12th Street, or the Dearborn Street Station. But what it does is go through some of the most wildly exciting, scenic, strange amalgam of nature and gigantic structural creations of man at one and the same time. You ride, there is one site. I wonder how many of you have ever seen it. For those of you who haven't, I'm sorry. For those of you who have, you'll never forget it. There is a river that goes into the lake. This is a totally industrialized river. This is not at all even like the East River, for example, or the Hudson River, which still retain elements of being rivers, you know, natural rivers. The Calumet River goes through, at one point, it goes through Republic Steel on the south side of Chicago. It divides two steelworks, actually. But this river goes directly under the tracks of the train that you'll be riding on. And you look down, and you're high up over the river. It's a very high bridge because a lot of big ore boats go under this bridge all the time, big ore boats and huge tankers and one thing or another. You know, some of the biggest boats in the world are Great Lake ore boats. You should see a Great Lake ore boat. You wouldn't believe it. A Great Lake ore boat, when I was a kid, I'd be swimming, you know, down in the lake, and you'd see about 3 or 4 miles out in the water, maybe 5 miles out, you'd see this great big fat ore boat that would be either coming to the mills or leaving. And when they're coming to the mills, they're so low in the water, they're almost like a long line that covers the entire horizon. Really, they make the Queen Mary look like an outboard motorboat. They really do. These things go on and on and on and on and on and on. They stretch across the whole horizon. And when they're coming in, of course, they're low in the water. They're bringing down tremendous tonnage of ore from the Mesabi Range. They're bringing it down from the upper Great Lakes up in Minnesota, up in the way up in the northern straits, and they've come all the way down. And some of the most exciting sea tales and some of the most dangerous at-sea work is on Great Lakes boats. Do you know that? A storm comes up in like 30 seconds on the Great Lakes, and they have these huge, choppy, great waves that come from all different directions. And there is many a sailor that is sleeping at the bottom of Lake Michigan tonight. Oh yeah, they break these ore boats in half, and down they go like a rock because they're loaded with ore. You know, they're not loaded with a lot of people drinking champagne, and they don't have the same kind of safety devices and so on that an ocean-going vessel does. But a night like this, you can see that sky just hanging out over the lake, tremendous sky. And as you come in on that train that goes over the Great Calumet River at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, all of the lights from the steel mills are reflected in that water. The blast furnace, the waste pipes blowing off, the great yellow and orange and red lights, all reflected in this black water. And you can see hanging out over the lake that dull orange glow. And as you come over the bridge, you get a peculiar feeling of the lake, the river, these fantastic steel mills, and Chicago sort of hanging over it like a great ledge. And you hang over that river for about, 30 or 40 seconds, and then it's gone. But once you've seen it, you never can forget that. It's a natural phenomenon, almost like the Grand Canyon. It's a very, very strange, wild, peculiar, twisting, elliptical crunch. It's scary at one hand. It's magnificently beautiful on the other hand. And peculiarly inspiring, you know? I guess you gotta keep the glove loose.